The delicious flavor of mushrooms intrigued the pharaohs of Egypt, so much so that they decreed mushrooms were food for royalty and that no commoner could ever touch them. Fast forward to today, and given a growing, and yes, the pun's intended, given a growing trend among foodies to favor farm-to-table or locally sourced taste treats, mushrooms are more popular than ever. Ask Chad Hyatt, author of The Mushroom Hunter's Kitchen. He's a regular and a favorite at the Telluride Mushroom Festival. This year, Chad is a featured chef at the pre-fest dinner at Trout Lake on Wednesday, August 13th. Then he teaches two classes, Caution, Limited Capacity. They're titled The Hunter's Kitchen, and they take place on Friday, August 15th, 1 at 10, 1 at 2:30, and both are cooking demonstrations, but they're interactive with lots to taste. Chad will also do a book signing. This is Susan Tebrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Really delighted to be speaking with Chad Hyatt. Chad, thank you for taking time out of your very booked schedule to join me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So, Chad, let's get personal, since in your special case, personal is professional. You switched careers from engineering to classically trained chef and expert forager. Why, when, and how?
So I never really intended to be an engineer. It just kind of happened. I was good at math and was told I had to go to school. And so I wound up getting a degree in physics because it was interesting and kind of BS'd my way into engineering. And I never particularly liked doing it. I always found it kind of boring. And I was just looking for an out, and cooking was the one thing that I always loved and never got bored of and always just enjoyed learning and exploring. And food was just the one thing in my life that has been a constant forever. And one day I just kind of had this crazy epiphany that, yeah, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cook. And all the people I thought I could rely on to tell me that I had a stupid idea and to just put it away and ignore it told me, hey, that's actually a good idea. And I did it. And I gave up the engineering thing, went to culinary school, and started just working my way up in restaurants. And here I am. And that was in the 20-aught somethings. I don't remember exactly which year, 2008-ish maybe, something like that. But yeah, and it's funny that my getting into mushrooms happened right about the same time as my switching careers. So my growth in the mushrooms came exactly alongside my growth in the cooking. I don't know if you want me to go into depth about where I got into the mushroom thing exactly, but
that is up to you. If you want to explain a little further, be my guest.
Sure. So I had gone to a dinner, like the sort of dinner I'll be putting on this in Telluride in August in a few weeks here. And I had gone to this special dinner near where I live in California that at a nice restaurant, and a mushroom dinner. And the person who supplied all the mushrooms for the event was there, and I spent a whole lot of time talking to him. And I was already very much an avid outdoors person, and he convinced me that all I really needed to do was to buy a book and, you know, go out and start picking mushrooms and use the book to figure out what they were. And that book was David Aurora's Mushroom Demystified. And I did exactly what he said. I bought the book and I went out and started picking mushrooms, and one successful hunt led to another successful hunt, led to a complete and total obsession that sort of took over a little bit of my life.
Okay. So thank you for the segue, because the next question relates to mushroom cooking. Mushrooms can be roasted, stir-fried, stuffed, grilled. Still, you are credited with having a unique niche in the culinary world and for a unique spin on cooking with wild mushrooms. What do you think it is that sets you apart and on a bit of a pedestal?
I don't know that I sit on a pedestal. That image scares me. But I think that what sets me apart is that I think I'm one of only a handful of people, and I can think of four or five others in the country that I know that really have a deep knowledge and love of understanding mushrooms and the taxonomy and how to find them and where and why they grow and at the same time have the skills of a professional chef. So I think that's one thing that really sets me aside. I think that another thing that kind of sets me aside is that I've got a little bit of a different approach, and I try to move people. I try to kind of challenge people's expectations for what they can do with mushrooms, and use them in different ways. And I think that's I think what really sets me apart from most people.
And I suppose you'll be previewing, or not really even previewing, demonstrating your different approach to cooking mushrooms in your two classes, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say also that when, you know, the question you said that mushrooms can be roasted, stir-fried, grilled, etc., you know, yeah. I like to show people things like candying mushrooms and using them in desserts and things like that to get them outside of what they know and expect, and where a place, you know, using mushrooms to make preserves and jams, things like that.
Okay. This is becoming clearer to me why you are sort of set apart from the standard chef who's using mushrooms. I can see now how you're different. The list of cookbooks based on mushrooms is not quite the size of the New York Telephone book, but close. So why did you write The Mushroom Hunter's Kitchen?
So I think that kind of my background leads into this question, and I have a million cookbooks, and I have let me say that the book right now is actually a kind of a new version of a book I released independently by myself about 7 years ago. And that what led me to write that book in the first place was that I didn't think there was anything like it at the time. I felt like there was a big, most of what was out there in the community was kind of, or just in the world in general, was kind of an old-fashioned, kind of 1950s Betty Crocker housewife kind of approach to using mushrooms. And there's a place for that. I grew up eating a lot of that food. But I wanted to do food that was much more like the kind of things I was doing at work every day and the kind of food I was eating at home every day. So I just wanted new ideas and new ways to use things that reflected that. The second thing is that there's such a huge variety of mushrooms out there, especially for mushroom hunters. And I wanted to explore a lot of different varieties and show people the diversity of the mushroom kingdom. Because people think of mushrooms a lot of times as just another vegetable, and mushrooms pretty much occupy their own kingdom with, there's as many mushrooms as there are plants, probably more mushrooms than there are plants. So the diversity is staggering, and there's so many different flavors and textures and aromas and just appearances even. It's fun to explore that. So that was a big part of the motivation. And finally, just back to kind of the first thing that motivated me, of kind of a lot of things were just kind of old-fashioned. I think a lot of what we were taught about how to handle mushrooms was kind of based more on mythology than it was based on the actual understanding of their biology and chemistry. And I think that just basic things, like people are taught that, you know, you don't wash mushrooms with water and don't get them wet. And it's a very silly idea that has nothing to do with them. Mushrooms grow in very wet places and they're mostly water. Getting them wet is not going to hurt them. And if you're eating wild mushrooms, they're usually pretty dirty, and I'd rather not eat the dirt because it doesn't taste good, and it doesn't feel good in my teeth. So things like that. So those, I mean, it's those really those three big reasons are what led me to write the book. And the second time around, when I came back to this now, my publisher approached me and wanted me to do this. I viewed it as an opportunity to kind of, over the course of these 7 years, I've learned so much that I wanted to, you know, to fix, to teach people these new things I learned and just, you know, just clean things up and show people more. Then that's why I did it again. And I'm really happy with how it came out, put it that way.
Thank you very much for that answer, and I think we might pay it off a little bit in my next question, where you will, if you can, just preview a few of the choice eats from your pre-fest trout-like dinner, just to illustrate, I guess, some of the points you've made before about a slightly different approach to using mushrooms in a meal.
Okay, let's see. For example, I'm going to do a 6-course menu, and I'll just give you a couple items in there that I think are really fun. I before the 6-course menu even starts, I'm going to have a couple welcome bites for people as they come in, and one of those welcome bites is going to be based on a pork belly that's marinated or in candy caps. And candy caps are a kind of mushroom that grow where I live in California. They're endemic. And they have a chemical in them that has the aroma of maple syrup. It's the same chemical you find in fenugreek also. It's a really sweet-smelling thing that people like to use in desserts. But I love infusing it into food. It's something people don't expect out of a mushroom, this kind of sweet thing. And so giving people that as a starter bite in the pork belly, I think, is really fun. And part of that bite, actually, I'm going to have, I always love with the kind of pork belly bacon sort of thing, I always love apples. But instead of doing the simple apple thing, I'm going to candy some different mushrooms and apple juice and use that as part of my garnish with the pork belly. So that's an example of kind of the play I like to do with mushrooms a little bit. And at the same time, I'm not out there to completely try and confuse people. So I'm going to do some very approachable things in there too. I mean, the menu is very much based on kind of seasonal, local stuff as much as possible, using the local vegetables as much as I can. I'm obsessed with making pasta, so I'm going to have a pasta course where I'm going to do a stuffed pasta, the cannelloni, that are going to be stuffed with morels and leeks and pumpkin. So that's another course. But yeah, I love hearing that response. And truffles, too, I forgot to mention. So that kind of decadent thing that for me is just the ultimate comfort food. I like to kind of walk the line of my food is about kind of happy comfort food. More, I want it to be surprising at times, but as much as I like to challenge people's expectation, my food is all about things that you're happy to eat. If you're not happy to eat it, then why am I making it? So
good point. And to that point, would you share just a little bit about what attendees to your classes on August 15th, what kind of things might someone take away from these classes? Just a couple of bullet points on that.
So I like when I do these kind of presentations, I like to make it as interactive as possible. I like to make it more about teaching people things they can use at home, really simple recipes that are very easy to apply at home. more than it's not about me sitting there and showing off that I can cook a fancy thing for an hour, because that doesn't benefit anybody. So I usually show about five different things. All of them are simple, and all of them that people can get a taste and hopefully show them something new and teach them something that, oh, I can do this at home. This is really easy. I can do this with the mushrooms I have at the store, or the ones I just found in the woods today. So that's what I'm all about when I do these kind of classes.
Okay. Well, thank you. Now, you started a link to www.catalego.net. And it seems to be related to regional Spanish cooking. What's that all about, and why did you start it?
So this, while mushrooms are my one big niche that a lot of people know me for, my wife is a Spaniard, and we spend a lot of time in Spain, and I've just absolutely fallen in love with Spain and with just kind of the regional cooking and just the food in general. And one of the things I realized when I went to Spain for the first time was that I know absolutely nothing about real Spanish food, and nobody I know in America knows anything about real Spanish food. There's only a few stereotypes everybody knows. And Spain, it's the food is so hyper-regional. And there's a couple regions there where I spend a lot of time that each have completely different kind of cuisines and completely different cultures and even different languages. And I think the food is so interesting. And when I've been working a bit on a book, and that website is kind of the prelude to ultimately what's going to be one, if not more, books about the Spanish cooking. For me, it's very much a passion project, just like the mushrooms are. It's a really fun subject that I could talk about endlessly.
Okay. Thanks for that teaser. We'll wait. Maybe we'll revisit the subject when it's more fleshed out, and you can then talk about it endlessly. So finally.
Sounds great.
Okay. So finally, what are you most excited about in returning to the Tiger Eyed Mushroom Festival?
I have so many friends there that for me, coming back to the festival now, it feels like going to a family reunion. And it's for the people who've been going for a while, I think you know exactly what I mean. And for people who haven't gone, it takes a little while to get to know people there, but once you're part of the family, you're part of the family. And it's always, I love going there and doing the mushroom stuff. I love going there and meeting new people. I love going there and, you know, cooking for people and trying new things and learning new things. But more than anything else, I just get so excited to see so many people that it's the only time of year I get to see them.
Okay.
There are just so many great people there.
Thank you very, very much. This has been Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with Chad Hyatt. Once again, his two big classes, which I'm not sure could already be sold out, but fingers crossed they're not if you're interested. They are Friday, August 15th, 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. And once again, Chad is the author of the famed book, The Hunter's Kitchen.
The Mushroom Hunter's Kitchen. I'm sorry.
Sorry, The Mushroom Hunter's Kitchen. My apologies, Chad. And he'll be doing a book signing, so you can get that book too. And I think that event takes place on Thursday, August 14th. So, again, this has been Susan D. Brock talking with Chad Hyatt. And again, Chad, thanks for your time.
And thank you so much for having me.
Okay.